It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I already see Tyler Jennings in the chat saying, I hope it's not a lot of Niner talk today. Buckle up, folks.
Come on now.
No, what are you... Look, dude. They were supposed to be a team that going into this year was Matt Barrows, who's covered the 49ers for 68 years. That's not 68, but it's messing with Matt. He's covered the 49ers for a long time. So this is the most talented 49ers team I've ever seen. That's where this was supposed to go. And instead, they're 3-4 and in a spot where, you know what, you didn't need to beat Kansas City, but you needed to be competitive, and they were not competitive. They got outclassed in every single facet. I shouldn't say every single facet. I thought their defense played okay.
Yeah.
But beyond the okay day for the defense, they were terrible in a huge spot where you had the mini bye. You had extra days off. The Chiefs had a full bye, to be sure, but that was a chance to go in, and the Chiefs are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. Everybody knows that. Back-to-back defending champs. You are a contender until you are no longer in the playoffs. So the Chiefs are a bona fide, legit Super Bowl contender, and the 49ers look like a JV team. That's where they're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are 6-0. They're the best team in football. They're the only undefeated team left. They're also the two-time reigning champs. But they have a way about them that they just feel so beatable. And I think you get lulled into the thought that they're beatable, and realistically, they might not be right now. And the 49ers certainly aren't the team that are going to beat them. And... Brock Purdy is certainly not the quarterback that's going to beat them right now. And Kyle Shanahan is not the coach that's going to beat them.
And here's where I'm at with all this. There's so much to dig into with this.
There is.
But David Lombardi, who covers the 49ers for the SF Standard, I think is where he's at now.
Okay.
Very optimistic view of the team at all times with his coverage. Was first to point out, quick to point out, well, hey, 2022, the 49ers are 3-4 after week 7, and they lost to the Chiefs in week 7. This year, 3-4 after week 7 with a loss to the Chiefs in week 7. Miss me, dude.
Yeah.
Miss me with that.
Yeah.
This team is way more 2020 than 2022, because that 2022 team in that week 7 game against the Chiefs had just gotten Christian McCaffrey. That was Christian McCaffrey's first game. The 49ers rattled off 10 wins in a row after that loss to the Chiefs. This year's 49ers team is not going to have Brandon Ayuk. They do not have D'Amico Ryans, who at that time was the best defensive coordinator in football. They do not have Christian McCaffrey at this moment. Their defense is not close to as good. It's just top to bottom. Their pass rush isn't as good. Their linebacker play isn't as good. Their safety play isn't as good. Not as good of a team. Flat out. So to point to that and go, well, hey, they were in this exact same scenario. Everything's fine. It's not, dude. It is not fine. There is nothing that's happened. Do you know who they beat? They beat the 2-5 Jets. They beat the 1-6 Patriots.
Oof.
And they beat the
Seahawks.
Seahawks. What are the Seahawks now? 3-4-3?
4-3.
4-3? Yeah, the 4-3 Seahawks. Nice. Good work. Cool. They're just not that good, dude. Like, it's maybe it's Christian McCaffrey. Maybe it's Drake Greenlaw being out. I don't know. But there's nothing through 7 weeks. I don't. Through the first couple of weeks, I was happy to lean on, well, look at last year. Look at the last couple of years. They're going to be fine. They're going to right the ship. We're 7 weeks in. We're 7 weeks into this. And they've not figured out how to close a game, how to make. The Chiefs yesterday did not play great. Their defense was awesome. But offensively, they didn't play great. I thought Patrick Mahomes, same thing you always talk about. Missing throws, looked indecisive at times.
It's just not great.
But
yeah,
when it came down to, hey, they need a play, they can put I thought his 33-yard run down the sideline was kind of the dagger. They need that play, boom, he's going to make it. Huge third down, hey, he's going to figure out a way to make that throw or scramble for a first down.
Mm-hmm.
They made winning plays when they needed to make them, and the 49ers did the opposite, the same way they have basically all season.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of concern. Not only, I mean, we'll dive into the injury issues, but just overall, the same exact things keep rearing their heads.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, like, first and foremost, Brock Purdy does not look like a quarterback who can bring a team back and beat somebody.
Yes.
Still.
1,000%.
And now we've gotten to a point where that's an issue. It's no longer like, hey, he could grow out of this. This is like an issue that you need to have strong conversations about.
Yep.
And on top of that, the unoriginal play calling, Kyle, I'm watching Andy Reid is like watching a grandmaster,
mm-hmm.
you know, painter. Like, he just, what he does is so incredible. You're like the weird, crazy play where they snapped it to somebody other than Patrick Mahomes.
I think it was a direct snap to Kareem Hunt with Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz in three-point stances in the backfield.
Yeah, and it did not, it didn't score a touchdown, if I'm not no. mistaken. But what it does is it, like, messes everything up. And now you're so confused. Is he going to have, like, that weird tight end screen where Mahomes just steps back and then flicks it to
yeah.
Kelsey for the touchdown? Are they going to give it to Kareem Hunt to, like, run you over? Is he going to step back, fake, and then run up the middle? Like, mm-hmm. there's so many options. The 49ers get to the 5-yard line, and it's like, this is so dreadful. I don't know what sort of cartoon, like, coloring book you're working with here, but it's the same basic trash every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so bad in the red area mm-hmm. that you're just looking at, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it's so basic. And that he's been this way his entire time as the head coach of the 49ers. When he gets in the red zone, it is nothing but basic.
So I disagree with that, actually. I think he's been really, really good as a play designer and play caller. They were first in the league in scoring red zone touchdowns last year.
No, okay.
This has not been a problem until this year. And to your point, we saw glimpses of it yesterday. After Brandon Ayuk got hurt, you saw glimpses of, ooh, that was a fun little run design.
Mm.
Like, oh, that was kind of interesting. The QB sneak that Purdy scored on, where he takes a snap and the two guards pull and then he just follows the center who has to take on a linebacker, that's a fun design.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different. That creates some chaos. And to your point about Andy Reid is like, screw it. He ran a play, I wish I could remember the exact circumstances, but it was like something along the lines of, don't quote me on this, like a security guard came up to him and was like, hey, I thought about this. And Andy Reid was like, let's try it. He lets their dudes, and this has been a critique I've had of Kyle Shanahan for years now. Andy Reid and other coaches, but we're going to use Andy Reid because he's relevant to this conversation right now. He lets his dudes be dudes. Like, he just lets players play. When Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney or whoever it was lined up in the wrong place in the Super Bowl, it is not timeout, get that guy off the field, he's not going to play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's, hey, Patrick, go make the play work. Understand the offense, understand what's going to happen with that guy lined up in the wrong spot and make the play work. And they scored a touchdown on that play where they weren't even lined up properly. And I think that's the thing missing. And it's really interesting because I asked, we had Kyle Juszczyk on Candlestick Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, like, hey, man, I work in sports talk radio. I hear the most insane things about Kyle Shanahan. I want to know from a player what makes him a good coach. Why do you think Kyle Shanahan is a good coach? And he talked about how he's a player's coach. He does such a good job of building those personal relationships with players where, like, you're homies, but he's going to hold you accountable. And you're going to hold him accountable. And there's that relationship where he's the coach for sure, but he's also, like, there's a human element to it. Yet that doesn't translate to the field somehow. Because the only way Jacob Cowing can get on the field, we all watched him in the preseason and went, oh, guy's a little interesting. Find a way to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
But oh, he doesn't have enough of the offense down to get on the field. Meanwhile, neither does Xavier Worthy. Mecole Hardman stinks. Mecole Hardman is not a good wide receiver, but do you know why he's good with the Chiefs? Because Andy Reid says, hey, you know what? You're good at these four things. We're going to let you go do those four things. Mm-hmm. You're going to wreak havoc on defenses doing this. They know it's coming. It's not going to matter because you're really good at it, and we're going to execute the hell out of this play. They do the exact same thing with Xavier Worthy. They do the exact same thing with Kadarius Toney and any other player who has come through there. They have figured out ways to have success with those players. And with Kyle Shanahan, it's, hey, you know what? You lined up a yard off where you needed to be lined up. You're just not getting that. You're just not going to be on the field. And that is where I think what you're talking about comes in, where, like, this year, when they get in the red zone, it's not, hey, we need to get creative. We need to do something fun because our guys are not winning one-on-one often enough. It's not, let's get creative. It's, hey, we just need to execute better. Like, well, that's clearly not working. We're 7 weeks into this.
Yeah. I watched Xavier Worthy in week one score two touchdowns and he got thrown three balls.
Yep.
And he had one run.
Yes.
They put the fear of Xavier Worthy into the heart and souls of every other team that they're going to play the rest of the season.
Yes. Thank you.
Whether he can do anything or not, we have no idea. But we do know that there's a fear of him.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been that.
Nope.
I mean, not only that, but we look at Cowings, right? And you're thinking, okay, there's got to be something wrong with him. He had to have, like, got to the combine and ran a 4.240, and everyone's like, oh, he's going to get selected in the draft because he's so fast.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy who, in his senior year at Arizona, caught 90 balls. The year before, 85. The year before, 69 balls.
Nice.
This is not a dude who doesn't know how to run a route at all.
Correct.
This is a guy who is an actual receiver, not just a speed merchant.
Yep.
And what you did is you put yourself in a situation where you wouldn't let a kid on the field for the first 6 weeks of the season at all, except for the return kicks or whatever. You wouldn't let him because he needs training wheels for some reason.
Yeah.
Where other teams don't need training wheels, your guys need training wheels. And then when you needed him, you got lucky that he caught a deep pass, but you don't have him as part of everything. He doesn't have the confidence to go do what you need him to do because you've hamstrung him the whole time.
Right.
So, like, to me, like, there's a major disconnect in how he handles young receivers. There always has been. But now, what has he got? He's got Debo, maybe. He's got Juwan Jennings, maybe. And now he's got a bunch of young receivers. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Yeah. They're going to make mistakes. And I don't know. For me, like, there definitely is a lack of creativity when I'm watching other teams play because I watch a ton of football. Mm-hmm. And sure, he made a nice play at, what was it, second and one at the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was creative, but Mason could have ran that ball in on any given down. I mean, that's just the way it is. The rest of the season, it just feels like they're running the same exact thing, and everybody in the entire building knows what's coming.
Yeah.
And it does not get it's not the end zone carry that you need. It does not, they don't score in the red zone like they did last year. But last year, I'm going to put this big asterisk, there's a guy named Christian McCaffrey there who changes everything. And so, like, you still have to, just because you don't have one guy there doesn't mean you can't, you're no longer creative. It doesn't mean you no longer score touchdowns.
Yes.
You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And we're too deep into the season to figure it out. And now, you know, everything else is snowballing around them.
Yeah, man. And as much as, you know, we can talk about Kyle Shanahan here, the bottom line for me is that Brock Purdy was not good yesterday.
No.
he was as bad as I've ever seen him. We've ever seen him. Thought it was the worst game he's ever played. His two best throws, the long completion to Kittle and the long completion to Cowing, should have been touchdowns.
Yeah.
But he horribly underthrew them.
Yeah.
The interception in the end zone, inexcusable. Chris Conley double covered. You're trying to force a ball into a window that's not there. You get a big fourth down stop. They actually got a stop on a fake punt. Next play, interception to nobody. There was no window for him to throw. He's guessing. And when he gets sped up and he's forced to operate from the pocket, he is not good.
Yeah.
And this is a player that in that spot, and I understand, okay, he's down to the Chris Conley and Ricky Pearsall in his first ever NFL game, not even preseason, first ever NFL game.
Wild.
Jacob Cowing getting his first real snaps and Ronnie freaking Bell. Those are your options. I get that and George Kittle, I get that that's going to be more difficult. But in a spot where this is a quarterback that they're going to pay $60+ million to this offseason, I haven't seen enough happen yet that would take me off my stance that the 49ers are going to pay him, because that's just kind of what you do with quarterbacks. So he's going to get paid. And in this spot, maybe you don't go win, but you don't play the worst you've ever played.
Yeah.
He was abominable. And if you want to look across the other side, to the other sideline, and I say this because I see people talk about Brock Purdy is elite. No, Patrick Mahomes is elite. Patrick Mahomes, Juju Smith-Schuster, their number one receiver, goes down on like the first drive of the game or second drive of the game.
Yeah, they're also playing without Rashee Rice, their best receiver.
Their number one receiver.
Yeah.
You have Travis Kelce was hemmed up all day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He had, what, like four catches for 17 yards or something?
Every time he caught the ball,
he was not effective.
They hit him
but
hard.
But it was Noah Gray. It's one to Samaje Perine here. It's one to Justin Watson there. It's figuring it out and making plays. And Brock didn't do that. And not only did he not make plays, he made bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
In a spot where, dude, just take care of the football. You're down 9 with a few minutes left, and you have the ball on their 5. It is 3rd and goal. If there's nothing there, throw it away. Take the 3 points. Try for the onside kick. Live to fight another day. Throwing an interception there is inexcusable, man. And not even an interception that was, oh, it got tipped, or, oh, man, defender made a great play. No, defender was just standing there, and Brock just threw it to him. And this is supposed to be a franchise quarterback who's going to be the rising tide that lifts all boats, that in 5 years with no Christian McCaffrey, no Deebo Samuel, no George Kittle, the 49ers are just going to be good because they have Brock Purdy under center? No, not there.
Yeah.
He was that bad yesterday.
I mean, half the throws that he made looked like Jimmy Garoppolo throws.
Yes.
Soft.
1,000%.
And floated and way too high. And you're like, what is happening? Even the one where Kittle went over the middle and made that incredible catch way up high.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? It's just such a soft throw. The ball that he threw that was picked on the sidelines where Ronnie Bell and him had miscommunication,
mm-hmm.
which again, I don't know why you have miscommunication on that. Either way, it was like, it was a lollipop.
You want me to make matters worse on that play? And maybe this is just Kyle Shanahan trying to, and Brock Purdy trying to save Ronnie Bell from another week of get this guy out of here.
Yep.
They said it was not a miscommunication. That makes it worse. That makes it so much worse. That was a terrible throw.
Yeah, I do know that Ronnie Bell went out past the marker on third down and came back, but was still...
Flattened his route.
Mm-hmm. He was wide open on the sidelines.
Yep.
A nice tight spiral to the sidelines is a completion for a first down.
Easy.
And that's not what he does.
And keep in mind, they were down 2 at that point.
Yeah.
They were in field goal range. They had the ball at Kansas City's 34.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, theoretically in field goal range, you have your kicker missing extra points. But
missing extra points when you should have gone for 2. Because everybody else in the league is going for 2 right there.
Yes. It's
like, I don't want to hear about how it's okay to go for it on your own 40 on fourth down, but it's not okay to go for a 2-point conversion when you're down 14 to 12.
Yeah, go for 2 with 10 and a half minutes left.
Just like shocking, man.
I'm sorry, it's 10 and a half minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah.
Because then you know, if you don't get it, you know you're down 9. So you know you're going to play down 9. Best case, so that's worst case. Best case is you score and you're tied.
Yeah.
The best case scenario in kicking a field goal there, or I'm sorry, kicking the extra point there, is that you're now down 1 And if the Chiefs score a touchdown, you're now down 8, and you need a 2-point conversion anyway just to tie it.
Yeah.
So I don't have any more energy to give on Kyle Shanahan not being aggressive enough.
Yeah.
The numbers, we talked about this yesterday on overtime on 95.7 The Game, but every year since 2021, the number of attempts on fourth down that leads the league has ticked up. It went from like 41 to 42 to 48, from 21, 22 to 23. In 2021, 2022, and 2023, it went at 41, 42, 48. The 49ers numbers over that same span in fourth down attempts have gone down.
That's wild.
The league leader last year was like the Panthers or something, because bad teams typically go for it on fourth down more often.
I think the Lions went for it 40 times.
They were second in the league at 40. The 49ers, 13.
Mm.
And that's where Kyle Shanahan is supposed to be that dude. Where, how do you not have? We can go back to the Vikings game for this. Fourth and goal at the 2, and they go for it, and it's an out to Juwan Jennings that gets batted down at the line, or tipped at the line, and is incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a fun play design in your bag to get you 2 yards. Do you feel like, yeah, we can break this out and get 2 yards right here?
Yeah.
Really? You don't have that? And that's what's baffling, man. Maybe it's the Christian McCaffrey of all this. Maybe they just went, hey, we are so invested in Christian McCaffrey, but you have had 7 weeks.
You had more than that, Kyle. He didn't even play in preseason.
Yeah.
You had so much time.
Yeah. And
training camp, everything else. Like, come up with something.
Yes. In the event that Christian McCaffrey doesn't play week 1, we need some fun stuff in our bag.
Yeah. You know what it feels like? It feels like when you go to take your wife out to a really nice dinner.
Okay.
And you go somewhere and you're looking at the menu and everything is like 25 or 30 bucks, maybe a little bit more. And you're like, okay, this is really, really pricey. And then you get your meal and it's something that you easily could have made at home. Nothing is special about anything on the plate.
Yep.
And you're just looking at it like, okay, I could have just gone to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
This is not at all what I'm paying 35 bucks for or 30 bucks for.
Mm-hmm.
And it that's what it feels. It just feels like unoriginal and bland. Yep. And like something that anyone could do,
mm-hmm.
not someone with the biggest payroll and superstars at every single position.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the dude's cooking without any ingredients.
Yep.
Now he might be, but up until this point, he had plenty to work with.
Yeah, man. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. If you want to get in on this conversation, the 49ers fall to the Chiefs 28-18 in a game that was not even as close as the final score. I do want to salute John Dillon, who's the managing editor of Chiefs Wire,
mm-hmm.
who nailed the final score prediction.
Oh.
28-18 is a weird score, and he nailed it.
That is a weird score.
On the dot. Not 28-17, not 28-14. He had 28-18.
Yeah.
And he was right. He even said, like, the Niners might bottle up Travis Kelce, but the Chiefs just know how to make plays and win these games. Like, dang, nailed it, my guy.
He must know
must
football.
Must be nice.
Yeah.
Must be nice. No, man, I don't know at this point. And this is why this is frustrating. Because the 49ers have enough good players that if you, James, came from the future and you said, hello, I'm James from February of 2025, and the 49ers made it back to the NFC Championship game, I'd be like, oh, okay.
All right.
Right. Would I bet on that? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
But that's why this is so far. If this was the... I'm not trying to be insulting here. If this was the Chicago Bears, a team that like rebuilding, rookie quarterback, you know, kind of picking their way through, and they were sitting at 3-4 with the loss to the Chiefs, it's like, okay, feel good about the direction of the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears have been better than the 49ers this year, to be sure. But I'm picking a different team for example here. With San Francisco, it's like this was supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. And they've played they played yesterday another Super Bowl contender and looked decidedly not like one.
Yeah.
And maybe they turn something around. Maybe Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. And I thought Diamador Lenore was great yesterday. He had a really, really nice game.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Mustafa, save for getting railroaded at the goal line.
He's figuring it out.
Was really, really good yesterday. Yeah. Jair Brown stinks. I'm out. Out on Jair Brown.
All right.
Holy smokes. I've never seen a player take more bad angles, miss more tackles, be in the wrong spot more often. Just out. Out on number 27. But there's enough talent on both sides of the ball that if you told me next week, they're favored by 6 against the Cowboys, by the way.
Still?
Who are coming off the bye, yes. Opening line, 6 points.
That's crazy.
If you told me that, yeah, Juwan Jennings back and Debo's back and they beat the Cowboys and then Christian McCaffrey back after the bye and they got rolling a little bit, all right, fine. But reacting to what I know in week 7, this is not a good enough football team. And maybe they sneak into the playoffs, but looking at their schedule, do you have faith in them to go into Tampa Bay and win? Are you certain?
No.
Okay. They got the Bills. You get the Lions.
Oh.
There's a couple more tough ones in there that I'm missing. Green Bay's in there.
Oh.
Got to go play Green Bay.
Green Bay.
You
got to
play the Rams,
legit.
who already beat you and might be healthier at that point.
Okay.
You got to play the Cardinals again, who already beat you.
Hmm.
Like they needed to. Like I said, had they lost yesterday, but man, you know what? It was just a duel, Mahomes. Purdy, they were getting at two good defenses playing, and the Chiefs just snuck it out 20-17. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
But to fall as flat as they did in that spot yesterday, woof.
Brutal.
And maybe it's the Super Bowl hangover stuff. Maybe it's the 3 consecutive years of falling short, and they just don't have the emotional energy to go, all right, we're ramping this back up.
Yeah. I'm with Trent Williams. I wanted to punch somebody so I could leave early.
Hey, they need to get 6 in concussion protocol. Holy smokes. He got walloped. No, but that's just it. Like, that is an emotionally weak play by Trent Williams.
Yeah.
I understand where he's coming from. You're getting your ass kicked, and then you get smacked upside the head. I know you're upset.
Yeah.
But you can't do that. Like, that's Bush League.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unbecoming of a
Hall
veteran, veteran Hall of Fame left tackle on a team that's supposed to be on par with a team like the Chiefs. And the 49ers just very clearly aren't.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll keep talking about this. The Brandon Ayuk injury is another big story coming out of yesterday. We'll talk about that. We'll take a look around the NFL. Week 7, ton of good games, ton of fun games. We will run through there. We have our World Series matchup set. Tons to get into today. On the Insiders, he's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. You're on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Shout out to the Chatty House, man. YouTube.com/ESPN1320 and Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. People in there right now giving wine pairings for Taco Bell meals.
Oh.
Talking a little food at the break. Speaking of food, that's what the 49ers were yesterday against the Kansas City Chiefs, 28 to 18, the loss there for the Niners. The other thing that happened last night, as we put a pin in the NFL for a brief moment, the Dodgers punched their ticket to the World Series with a win at home over the New York Mets. I have a couple things on this. The Mets are not a Cinderella. The Mets are not some plucky underdog. The Mets had the highest payroll in baseball. All right? And I know there's technicalities with that, that the Dodgers are deferring all sorts of money with a bunch of guys, and so that, okay, fine. The Mets pay their roster a lot of money. They're not, the Guardians were like middle of the pack in payroll.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a fun little story.
Yeah, but just like, when was the last time they won? They won the World Series in 1969 and in 1986.
They were in the World Series in 2015.
Yeah. It just feels like that they aren't.
They
weren't a good team last year.
Yeah, they're the lovable losers, no doubt. But yeah, they dumped a bunch of money into their roster. This was not a small market v big market David v Goliath type of thing. The Dodgers have an awesome roster. The Yankees have an awesome roster. They're the two best teams in baseball, and they're facing off in the World Series.
This is a dream for Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and honestly, the Dodgers-Yankees series in the Bronx this year was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was outstanding, and Juan Soto didn't even play in that series. And for the Dodgers specifically, given how their beat up their pitching staff is,
mm-hmm,
that they've been able to make their way through this postseason with like Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who was hurt for a bunch of the year with a shoulder injury, and Jack Flaherty, who's had some injury problems in his career who they picked up at the deadline, and then like bullpen games.
A bullpen game? This? Oh, just
super
incredible.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Like really, really, really fun. And then Tommy Edman, who they acquired at the trade deadline, who had wrist surgery in the offseason, who didn't even play until August 19th. That's when he played his first game this year. For him to come out and be the NLCS MVP, that's fun.
Yeah.
You talk about the randos all the time with baseball.
All the time.
Tommy Edman's the rando.
There we are.
He's done it before. He's been there. Like, I get Tommy Edman, good player. Not trying to drag Tommy Edman. But on a team with Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts and Teoscar Hernandez and Freddie Freeman, for Tommy Edman to be that dude, it's a fun story.
Yeah.
So I understand people. It's Dodgers, Yankees. It's boring. It's going to be the best series that the league could have gotten.
Oh, by far. And especially, I think, you know, I always talk about the randos for sure, but to watch the Yankees' great sluggers all of a sudden, like, catch fire.
Yes.
It's like, oh, man, if we get that, like, that is, like, the highest of, like, that would be spectacular.
Yes.
Like, I want to see Giancarlo Stanton, like, hitting home run after home run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the drama. I want to see Shohei catch fire, which I don't know. He has not been, it doesn't seem like he's been all that.
He is, it's because he's not hitting with runners not on base.
Yeah.
In his last 23 at-bats with runners on base, he is 18 for 23.
That's wild. Like, that's crazy.
Dude's just raking. So that's what, dude, there's star power. I know our guy Ramsey in the chat is like, I'm not watching. All right, fine. If that's you, totally fine. I'm not going to hate. But I think for me, after watching that Yankees-Dodgers series pretty closely back in, I think it was June, I'm fired up. Is it annoying because this is what baseball has quote unquote wanted and all the marketing and stuff around it? Yeah. I get it. I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
But in a league that has done a bad job of marketing its stars, here's its chance. So many of the stars right here in this series in the two biggest markets in sport.
Oh, yeah. East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah, man.
I mean, this is it.
There's the history here with the Dodgers formerly being in Brooklyn. I mean,
you could not ask for anything more if you're Major League Baseball. This is it. This is the...
Which is annoying.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I don't want Rob Manfred to win.
Yeah.
But, yeah, from a baseball standpoint, it's like, oh, this is going to be a good series.
No, I totally agree.
I can't wait. Yankees-Dodgers. That's going to be your World Series. And then in other championship news, the New York Liberty. Congratulations to the New York Liberty. They beat the Minnesota Lynx 67-62 in overtime to win the WNBA title. I don't want to dive super far into this.
Mm-hmm.
I will say the officiating, really bad there at the end. Really, really bad.
Okay, so like...
That was the most egregious travel I've ever seen in my life on Breonna Stewart.
Yeah, the travel was bad, but the foul call with like 5-point-something seconds left. You know what that was, though? That is what Domantas Sabonis gets called for all the time. He goes straight up,
yeah.
But then as soon as there's contact, his hand falls forward, and she did hit her arm. But, I mean, in that moment, you're like, oh, they're not going to call that. Oh, no, they're calling that. They send her the line, she ties it. But I was a little bit bummed out for the WNBA. I thought the game was back and forth. I thought the crowd was incredible.
Unbelievable.
Like, high drama, all this stuff, right? But to have your stars, to have Sabrina go 1 of 19 from the field.
Yeah, not a great night for Sabrina.
Yeah, to have Stewart go 4 of 15 and 0 for 3 from 3. To have, you know, the Liberty go 2 of 23 for 3 as a team.
Yeah.
It was like you want that crazy combative game, but you also want it to be like fun.
Yeah.
And it was like a brick lane contest.
I think for me, in a do or die game 5 like that, where it is back and forth.
Yeah.
In a series that has been as back and forth as this one, like two was it 17 point comebacks, 15 point comebacks, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You had the Sabrina game winner to send it to a game 5, like just unbelievable moments. That to me harkened back to, and we were talking about this a little bit before the show, the 2016 Game 7 between the Cavs and Warriors. We remember that as like this awesome game because of the comeback and just the history of it and the Kyrie shot over Steph and the LeBron chase down block, and these moments were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a bad game. Klay Thompson hit a jumper. We looked this up. Klay Thompson hit a jumper with 4:39 left in the game to make it 89-89. It stayed 89-89 until 53 seconds left when Kyrie hit the three.
Ugh.
It was just, and I think that's kind of what you get into those moments, and it's like, man, it's tense. When you're Breonna Stewart and you're Sabrina Ionescu, like, it's on you.
Mm-hmm.
And see, it got, I think the pressure got to both teams. Nobody shot it great.
Yeah,
that was
For your two stars to do that, to go 5 of 34 from the field, and for you to win,
yeah.
I mean, that to me is crazy.
The free throw disparity.
Yeah.
25-8.
It's not great.
And the commissioner wearing a dress of the New York skyline?
Oh.
Like, I'm not a conspiracy theory in sports guy.
Oh yeah.
I really, the strings that have to be pulled, and we'll talk about the NFL here in a bit, but the strings that have to be pulled to pull off some of the conspiracies that people think are happening.
Yeah.
The, you know, people going, well, of course the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl because the NFL. No, the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl because they're good.
Yes.
Like, because Nick Bosa crashed down on a 4th-and-1 and got fooled on the read option, and Patrick Mahomes got a first down instead of being stopped to end the game. Like, that it's not a conspiracy, right? But you have the commissioner in New York. You have a game that is trying to grow. It is exploding.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the WNBA has arrived. There's no more like, oh, it's growing. The WNBA is here. And to have the commissioner in New York wearing a dress of what looks like the New York skyline, and to have the officiating go the way that got officiated. I'm not going to go as far as to be tinfoil hat guy, but it's really hard to argue against the tinfoil hat people.
yeah, I mean, like, look, I think the only reason I bring up the shooting and all that stuff is because I do know that so many more people were watching that. And you're competing. You're competing against, again, the Jets playing on Sunday Night Football. If you, and just New York fans, you're competing with that. At the same time, you're competing with the Mets in the NLCS, right? So you're competing with all this stuff. And if you're going to get this opportunity to be on primetime with all this other stuff, you just wish it would have been like a shootout or something. Something like drew in a few more fans, some casuals that were like, hey, you know what? This ain't, this is a the game five. Like, let's see it. So that's where it was like, okay, it was a little... It was a little bit dry.
Sure.
That's all.
I don't know. I definitely agree. Like a game that's like shot for shot and back and forth is always preferable, right?
Yeah.
But I think there was enough drama in the game and enough drama in the series.
Oh, no, for sure.
That it was just both teams playing their asses off. Is back and forth game. I think it was not a well played game, but I think a overall a good game and a good cap to a pretty remarkable season for the WNBA, and hope to continue seeing that league grow for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Really excited to see what the next couple of years look like. So, week seven of the NFL. We talked about it on Friday, and this is the Insiders. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're live here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader every day from 10 a.m. to noon. If you're not subscribed to the podcast version of the show, please do so. It's the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, wherever you get your podcasts. It's each hour of the show plus the full show. If you miss anything or want to go back and listen to something, we'll have it there for you. Or if you just want to support the homies and you have no intention of listening to the podcast, you can still subscribe and hook us up with the downloads. We would appreciate that immensely. Anyways, week seven. We talked about it going in. Man, there's a lot of really good games on this schedule this week.
Oh, yeah.
I want to start with the Lions and Vikings, because when we're talking about the 49ers and Chiefs, and the Chiefs outclassing the 49ers kind of in every way, you said the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL right now. They're 6-0.
Yep.
And if that's just, hey, they haven't had a loss, they're the best team. To me, the Lions are the best team in the league right now.
It's a toss-up between the Lions and the Vikings, outside of the fact that the Chiefs exist at 6-0. I would agree.
The Lions are 31 points on that Vikings defense. Jared Goff looking as good as he looked against that Vikings defense. Their offense looks like what the Kyle Shanahan offense used to look like, where they just had answers for everything. And they have the two-headed monster at running back with Jahmyr Gibbs and with David Montgomery. And Amon Ross St. Brown is awesome. And Sam LaPorta is not even having a great year. But their offensive line is just freaking outstanding. Jared Goff is playing great football. Defensively, they're doing enough to win games. Remember, that was their first game without Aiden Hutchinson.
Oh, yeah.
And they still figured out a way to go in a division game on the road and beat the previously undefeated Vikings.
And they got to Sam Darnold four times.
Yeah, man. I am blown away by the Lions. I was blown away by the Lions last year. I thought they outplayed San Francisco in the NFC title game, and the 49ers made a couple of plays and the Lions didn't down the stretch. The Lions this year, to me, for my money through week seven, are the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I don't think there's a team in the league that is hanging with them for four quarters.
Yeah, I would say that if they still had Aiden Hutchinson, that I would put them in that. Like, I would think that they're the odds-on favorite, just because they have a difference maker that can get to the quarterback at any time.
Yeah.
And just be disruptive. Like, so, but I still think that they're in a small group of teams. I think it's them. I think it's the Chiefs. And again, like, hat tip to the Vikings, who did come back and did have an opportunity.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put them in the same boat, because I like whatever's happening there with Sam Darnold. I mean, he wasn't great, but whatever's happening, it's still something that, like, they're really good.
If I gave you the NFC North or the field to win the Super Bowl, the NFC North, that gives you the Vikings, the Lions, and the Packers. Packers also look good in a 24-22 win over the Texans. We can talk about that here in a second.
I'm taking the NFC North.
I think I am too.
Yeah.
Because your options outside of the NFC North are the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
49ers, the Seahawks, Falcons.
I mean, AFC. I mean.
And then you've got the Chiefs.
The Bills.
The Ravens.
The Ravens. I think we can stop there. I don't think there's another team in the AFC.
Houston worried me a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, well, okay. Houston, if they figure it out, then maybe.
Right now, I'm not putting Houston in that group.
No, they're on.
They're talented enough too, and maybe by the end of the year they get there. Right now, they're not there.
Yeah,
I think I'm leaning NFC North too, man.
Yeah, I probably
and the Bills and the Chiefs. Oof,
I don't know.
That's a gauntlet.
Yeah,
yeah, man. The Lions right now, I think the vibes are off the charts. They are so talented. And for one game, they figured it out without Aiden Hutchinson. And for me, for my money, like I said, I think they're the best team in the league right now. But you can't rule out the Vikings, who they beat. And you can't rule out the Packers, who beat the Texans 24-22. And man, I saw some preseason prognostication about the Packers that said, hey, they were really good last year. They had a nice end of the season, but they're going to come back down to earth a little bit. And they lost Jordan Love for a couple of games. Didn't matter. They lose that season opener to the Eagles on a Friday night in Brazil. But then won a couple of games without Malik Willis. Or, I'm sorry, without Jordan Love and with Malik Willis starting. Mm-hmm. They really look like they're kind of hitting their stride. And if their receiving corps can stay healthy, I think they're going to be a real problem. And their defense played awesome yesterday, too.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched with Love, they're so incredibly good. Like when he's playing, I don't know that they're going to lose a lot of games at all. So, yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I think that they're right now like a top 2-3 team in football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're now in my top 5 without any question. And the funny thing is they're last in their division.
Like the Packers?
Yeah. Am I wrong?
That can't be right.
I swear I just looked at the division standings and they're...
Aren't they 5-2 now?
So oh, be okay,
a half
my
game
bad.
Up on the Bears?
They're a half game up on the Bears. Yeah, yeah, so the Bears are 4-2 because they...
We haven't even talked about the Bears who have a really good defense and they have the number one overall pick who's figuring it out.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
This is
ridiculous division.
Every week it's a new, like, 2 or 3 receivers that are dominating. Like I know you picked up Romeo Doubs on our fantasy. We got to get a piece of the Packers offense. It's like, well, the problem is that they have him. They have Wicks. They have Reed. Mm-hmm. They have a tight end who keeps catching all kinds of touchdowns.
Kraft.
Yeah, they had like
all these and all these dudes are like 23.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely spectacular to watch.
Matt LaFleur is top 5 for me. Matt LaFleur, Kevin O'Connell,
yeah.
Andy Reid.
Yep. Well, I think Andy Reid's number one.
Yeah, Andy Reid's one for
just
sure.
Because he's the guy with 2 Super Bowl rings right now.
Yeah, man. Speaking of top 5 coaches, I was a little bit down on Mike Tomlin, but that the Steelers are now 5-2 after smoking the Jets 37-15, and that the Russell Wilson starting at quarterback thing worked.
He looked so bad.
There was. Early on, it had big... I don't know if anybody remembers this. I think it was 2009 when the Niners played the Eagles at home on Sunday Night Football and the We Want Carr chant started for Alex Smith. Might have been 2010. But the We Want Carr chant started for Alex Smith. And it was ugly and the crowd's turning on him. That's how it felt with Russell Wilson early. It felt like, hey, this crowd is going to turn on this dude. And credit to him, man, he balled out.
Yeah.
A lot of George Pickens, a lot of Darnell Washington, but hey, they figured it out and scored 37 points against the Jets, and the Jets now winless since firing Bob Sala. Almost like he wasn't the problem.
Oh. You think? Yeah.
Yikes.
I was watching that game. Russell came out, and like years and years ago, me and my brother, we had taken up bowling, and we would go bowling all the time with friends, right? So my dad goes, hey, I want to come out and bowl. We're like, okay. My dad had back surgery. We'd never seen him bowl. I don't think ever.
Okay.
And he comes out. He's got his own bowling bag. And he's left-handed, so, you know, he has his own ball because the holes
are all weird.
And he's got these crazy shoes. And we're like, oh, my gosh. So my dad's first bowl goes to bowl, slips, flies up in the air, smacks down on his back, slides across the buzzer. Bzzz. Me and my brother were laughing so hard. I swear we're in tears. He was okay. And
yeah,
it was
so
like,
I'd be checking on the guy.
It was
back
like,
surgery.
Oh my gosh. We were laughing so hard. Then he got up and he bowled like a 177 and just torched our, just torched us. We're like, what just happened?
Well, guys, still got it.
You haven't bowled in like 15 years. And that's what it felt like. Russell came out and was like, oh, that was a horrible throw. And then the first one almost looked like he just like duck hooks it. You're like,
yeah.
Oh, no. Like, yeah. He's done. He's shot. And then he just torched him. Like,
yeah.
All right.
So. Yeah. I was stunned by that outcome.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunned. Turns out the Jets just aren't very good.
Yeah.
Who'd thunk?
Huh.
Who'd really thunk?
They're a bad team.
The Raiders fell to the Rams 20-15. Ugly game. Aiden O'Connell's out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken thumb.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be the Gardner Minshew show.
Oh.
You know, I've had a lot of bad takes.
Yeah.
Like some really bad ones.
We were so here for Gardner Minshew.
The Gardner Minshew is going to get the Raiders to 9-8 take. My bad. I'll wear that. Yikes.
Bad. Yeah,
He had that fourth quarter against the Ravens, and what was that? Swing and a miss. Yikes.
He came in the game so early, it was like, hey, why is Minshew in the game? Because I wasn't watching it. And yeah. Like, oh no, Aiden O'Connell's hurt, right? To go 15-34 for 154 yards and three picks, one of which was a pick six, right? And that's the thing. Like, it's not his picks. They're like Will Levis. Like, when that guy throws a pick, it's going for six almost every time. Same thing. Wasn't it Daniel Jones that a couple of years ago had more pick sixes than he did touchdowns for himself?
It was at one point it was that. I don't think it finished the year like that, but yes, it was like a weekly, oh, hey, and here's the in-game highlight. They're going to cut away to Kurt Menefee in the studio. Kurt! He's like, well, the Philadelphia Eagles are off to a hot start as Daniel Jones throws his third pick six in as many weeks. He's like, oh, my God.
Aren't they talking about right now where he has not thrown a touchdown in their home stadium or ran a touchdown in like 600 days?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. That's a long time.
And Saquon Barkley torching them yesterday was funny.
That was amazing.
But yeah, man, Gardner Minshew comes in 15-34, 154, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Oh,
I look like Brock Purdy out there. Am I right?
Oh, no. Oh,
I mean, he
Kyle
just
got
dude,
chokes.
No, he's just not like my bad. Like I said, my bad, y'all. He's just not good at football.
Minshew.
I thought there was a little. Well, Brock yesterday too, but Minshew specifically in this instance, like he's just not good, man. I thought he was going to be one of those guys that is like, you know what, a little bit of a gunslinger, but man, there's going to be enough good plays that. Maybe not outweigh the bad ones, but you feel okay and you can win some games. Ugh, wrong.
No, we were
big
totally
wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, they fell behind, was it 20-6 yesterday? All right, you get a couple of field goals and make it respectable, but.
This might be the best thing that ever happened, though.
I said going into the week, you watch this game because it's a winnable game against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you sneak out a win and maybe you can kind of keep hope alive that they can just sneak around and stay in the play. It might be good that Gardner Minshew is going to start a bunch of games and they lose a bunch of games. Like that's it. I saw John Poles in the chatty house. He said, tank for Cam Ward, who's a G, by the way.
Yeah.
I finally watched a full Cam Ward game. Well, I've now watched two full Cam Ward games. There's the one against Cal here in Berkeley with the big comeback and then this weekend against Louisville in a shootout. Cam Ward was awesome. So if the Raiders are tanking for Cam Ward, salute. That's the right move. I'm in on that.
I am too.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. I don't think Cam Ward, the University of Miami quarterback. I don't know if I noted that for anybody who doesn't follow college football. Very good player. Heisman, I think he's a Heisman favorite right now.
Okay.
For the undefeated Hurricanes. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. Don, you're on the Insiders with James and Kyle. What's up?
Yes, sir. Kyle, Hammer, what's up?
What's happening? Let it rip, TC.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Hey, so before we get started, listen. Actually, I don't even want to get. Listen, Kyle, let me ask you a question. You too, Ham. Please answer. I know you guys can't do too much, but just yes or no. Now, are you guys starting to see what I'm talking about with this dude, Kyle?
No,
not you, Kyle Madsen, but Kyle Shanahan.
I'm not because my critiques of him are the critiques I've always had.
Yeah, I still think he's a great coach, but I also I'm always left wanting just a little bit.
Yeah, TC, I won't be in your camp. I get why you're there, and I respect it. I won't be in your camp until he loses players, and I don't think he's done that.
Hey, so listen, yesterday, everybody, I know Brock has things to work on, right? Anticipation, like, Brock, you have to work on what you need to work on. But Brock was playing scared yesterday, Kyle Massey, and you know this.
Yeah.
Kyle tells that guy that all his quarterbacks, he never, let me back up a little bit. He never developed a quarterback. He had never developed a quarterback, and I don't think he had never know how to develop a quarterback. What Brock is doing right now, Brock played 4 years in college, and he came in that way. Kyle didn't do nothing to Brock. If anything, he's holding Brock back. Kyle tells all of his quarterbacks where to throw to, who to throw to, when to throw it, and all that, bro. He was quarterback and scared yesterday because Kyle was telling him where to throw to, just like that play when he – that quarterback sneak when he ran in. If you look at that play, both when they broke the huddle and when they were walking up to the to hike the ball, Brock looked back at – I think it was JP. He looked back and shook his head, no, saying, I'm not going to hand you the ball off like the players call it. I'm a quarterback. Sneak this right now. Listen, man, Madsen, Hammer, I'm out on Kyle, bro. Y'all know how.
No, we know.
You have T-shirts, don't you?
It's not breaking news, DC.
Thank you. That game yesterday, Brock has a lot to do, but a lot of that had to do with Kyle and him micromanaging Brock and telling him where to throw to, bro, in my opinion.
Thanks, DC. Appreciate the call, buddy. That's the Elk Grove Kia Talk on 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. We'll keep talking about that when we get back from the break. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.